picking up shit was never part of my plan. Put down the guns, we need some love in the land.
When everyone is after the loot, that's just how we get them. Now do nothing for the youth.
So what's their best bet? Remember me brethren knew how we met his debt. One Saturday evening, the money he went to get, well overcome by grief and washed by cold sweat. I couldn't believe how could another man let a little petty vendetta leave children fatherless. I got to take care of them, I guess. Yes, when Nelson Warren John and Lipton Warden Kelly.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Centre in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Check. Let's see here. Check. Yeah, I guess I'm broadcasting. Can't hear my voice too well right now, but hopefully you folks can out there in CKLN Radio listener land. This is, again, CKLN's Rude Awakening Morning News Show. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. VJ Sarma, a.k.a. Veach. A lot of AKs. And I'm playing some Muse right now. This is a concert by Muse posted about 5 years ago. A lot of good energy. They were a bit rawer back then from what I could tell. A bit more polished stadium rock style now. A bit more punk back then. I'm wondering what Muse fans have done in the last 5 years since you know, they've been going off like this. And I'm also wondering, you know, what it takes to get us going. Because again, here on the radio show, I do talk about the New World Order, the central banking families who print money from nothing and loan it to governments around the world, who circulate it into their economy and then taxes to pay it back, to the central banking families who also increase their control through this process of putting countries in debt. And yeah, that's been going on for a while. And the New World Order is behind globalization. They want to centralize their control over the world, a polycentric oligarchy consisting of very old money, and new money. A little nervous about, you know, how this is all going to play out. And right now, it does appear that here on August 11th, 2010, just a month before the nine-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, the attacks on September 11th, 2001, on the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon, and then there was a plane that blew up in Shanksville, Virginia. Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which may have been attacking the Capitol building to decapitate the leadership of the United States by killing all the members of Congress and the Senate, or a bunch of them, and then allowing the shadow government to kind of come in and impose instant contingency plans for martial law. And it looks like the people in charge of the world are going for broke with respect to their plans. They want to dumb us down. They want to dehumanize us. They want to emasculate us, turn us into wimps. And then they want to rob us, and then they want to kill us. And when I mean they want to, I don't mean like, you know, we caught them, you know, in the bushes outside the bank. I mean, they've already taken half the money. And the proof of that is our reaction to this. And there's a bunch of people that know, and a bunch of people that feel special for knowing. And this is kind of go on the message boards and all that. But we aren't necessarily using this information to put any pressure on the system. At least not so much in Canada and the States. There's more people, there's a better history of activism, fight for your rights, all that sort of thing. And so, you know, they're doing a little bit of a better job at it. But here in Canada, we're a very polite country. And as a result, we often, you know, try and find the right things to say in social circles and social situations. And this is our form of communism, of communist groupthink that we're messing with today. I'm going to give you an example here from henrymakow.com. John Dewey: education was never about learning. And you guys out there might know the Dewey Decimal System of filing books from way back in the day before the internet. And the subtitle here is Illuminati Communism in Our Schools. And you can look up the Illuminati. George Washington, first president of the United States, one of the founding fathers, wrote about them. Said, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're here in the U.S. I'm pretty sure they're up to no good. And yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, we got to stop them. Because they were, you know, just a think tank of, you know, old rich white guys. You know, they're sitting around sipping bourbon, smoking cigars and talking about how to run the world. Something that probably goes on, you know, on Bay Street every day, although not to the extent where they could actually try. And so they were an offshoot of Freemasonry. And so in 1776, they were written about in the 1800s. I think it was 1776, maybe? Well, they were banned by the Bavarian government for for their acts of sedition, because they could create trusts. They could decide to work together as businesses and collude on pricing and decisions and control over markets. And that's illegal, because then they could just take over a society from the elected government. And here in I guess North America, I took some economic stuff back in the day, not much, high school and so on. Maybe heard bits and pieces about it in university. Learned a bunch about it since. Just with respect to the whole big picture behind the scenes of traditional media, traditional indie media, traditional activism, and so on. We don't discuss the banking side of things, because the bankers control them, because the bankers provide grants through their tax-exempt foundations. People like the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Fords create the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, Ford Foundation, and others created by other billionaires to basically to socially engineer us. And they control the foundations and the activism, the media, and then they control the markets and so on. And so here in I learned about antitrust laws, about how companies weren't allowed to get too big to the point where they could dominate a market. We were against monopolies, and then later on I started seeing how too big to fail, was a thing that people wanted, and how bank mergers and phone company mergers and other mergers in industries where we would want, maximum competition, because, a lot of times the things that they're merging to provide are things that we find essential: phones, food, things like that. And so we would like a lot of competition, so they could scrap with each other and be forced to lower prices. And yet I talked to business guys over the last few years who... yeah, they remember antitrust laws, but they do think they're kind of antiquated, in the sense that we should just kind of, go for ours. So, what these guys do in the sense of enforcing, sort of socially engineering us, enforcing a communist groupthink, is that they get something to be the thing to say, and then they get us to feel like, feel bad if we say otherwise. Either feel bad for other people because you might upset them, or feel bad because we might lose some standing, respect, or whatever. And that's how they keep upgrading this system. And so back to this article about John Dewey and Illuminati Communism in Our Schools by Elsie Vissen for henrymackow.com. No one has had a more pernicious effect on American education, and by extension the corruption of American society today, than John Dewey. Born in 1859, John Dewey turned historic American values and logic upside down. In Dewey's view, the individual existed only to serve society. Quote, socialization, i.e., the individual's conformity to a group, was seen as more important than factual learning. This twisted view of education has infected all of his work, resulting in a century of ever-diminishing American academic achievement with the resultant corruption of American society. And turning education upside down. John Dewey received his doctorate from Johns Hopkins University in 1883, joined the staff of the University of Chicago in 1894, and in 1899 he was elected president of the American Psychological Association. And from 1904 until his death in 1952, he was a professor of philosophy at Columbia University and Teachers College in New York. And I gotta say, there's good and bad philosophy out there, and psychology, good and bad as well, but psychology really... on the good and bad side, will often give you definitions to define you in certain ways that make it tough for you to get out of, because you actually believe those things. Someone could tell you you're shy and diagnose that, possibly even semi-clinically, but the way they see it. And you could just be shy for the rest of your life, and you could live up to the, or live down to the, whatever, depending on how you look at it, the shyness. And philosophy will give you things to aim for. Good philosophy will give you things to aim for. And that's why, you know, they tried to replace philosophy. The great thinkers that they study, you know, Locke, Hegel, Hobbes, you know, Nietzsche, Marx, you don't have to like all these people or agree with them, but you can understand, you know, how they're trying to push society and then, you know, use a bit of wisdom to decide how you want to look at that philosophy. So they've been replacing all that with psychology, you know, and you know, they've also been, they're still messing with us today. You know, every issue of Cosmo has like 74 new ways to please your guy. And yet at the same time, the New World Order is turning guys into girls. So it's, you know, she's coming home going, you know, honey, you have to take me like a savage stallion. And he's going, ah, I want to watch TV or play video games. No, bother me. And this goes on. And talk show host in the U.S., Mancow Muller, was talking about this in the Alex Jones show. I don't see as much of this here, but I see it's possible, where he's talking about how young guys are not into girls anymore. At least not like they used to be. It used to be crazy. I was crazy into girls. I'm still into girls. I'm still into women. I like women. I like young, hot, smoking hot girls. I like older women who got better game, but they're just not as good athletes, kind of like Michael Jordan's later years, you know, more of a spot-up jump shooter pulling tricks on you. You know when to say hello, know when to look away, know when to hold their head up so you're impressed, know when to drop their head a bit so, you know, they respect where you're coming from and the fact that you're giving them, you know, a bit of space and a bit of respect. And it's amazing. And a buddy of mine, my buddy, I got to tell you a couple of stories from my buddy before I get back to this article. All right, so buddy's wife is a teacher of, like, kindergarten kids. And she takes kindergarten kids to a play called The Princess and the Pauper. And in this, I think I'm getting this right. And in this play, there's a prince, and he's supposed to fight a dragon. And instead of fighting the dragon, he chickens out. And so his princess gets all ticked off, and she goes up to the dragon. She kicks his butt and whatever. And it's you know, to me, it's more emasculating propaganda in the sense of it being not written, but chosen to be something that, you know, teachers are encouraged to bring their kids to here in communist Canada. But what my buddy said was absolutely brilliant that happened is spontaneously, all these kindergarten kids, when the prince was wussing out, they started screaming, "Be a man! Be a man, boo! Come on, be a man! Ah, oh, you're not supposed to do that. Be a man!" And a whole bunch of kids spontaneously flipped out, and they hated the rest of the play, and they came back, and my buddy's wife is just scratching her head, going, "I don't understand. I mean, this is a great play. This dude was a wussy, and this chick went and saved the day." So you can see latent, you know, in us, I suppose, through generations of, you know, trying to do that and feeling good about doing that on behalf of, you know, the people we care about most importantly, but also other people, just because, seemed like the nice thing to do. You get back better energy and, you know, you will get people of the opposite sex, you know, appreciating where you're coming from. And you know, you get that on a regular basis and, you know, it's hard to feel emasculated. So it's all kind of natural to me at this point. I was always kind of this dude, you know, back in the day. You know, I'd get up, if a lady was leaving the table, I'd stand, you know, and these days you might do that, scare the crap out of a chick. So it's hard to know, especially the young ones. I held a door at the Paramount movie theater last night. I was going around flyering some craziness on the streets. And I held the door at a movie theater for this cute young brown girl who was behind me, so she'd go in the movie theater, and she looked at me kind of shocked and surprised, because I wasn't doing nothing else. I wasn't like, "Hey, baby, what are you saying?" I was just, "Oh, here you go. You're behind me. I can kind of notice that. I'm holding the door. You go ahead." And she was right there, and so she walked in. Then she's behind me on an escalator in really short shorts, and she's all nervous. She's running up the escalator until she bumps into the crowd of people, and I'm like, "Ah, Jesus." So I grabbed my famous magazine, which I caught from inside there, and I'm flipping through it, and I'm just laughing at the whole situation. I go, take a big old drink from the drinking fountain on a humid Toronto evening, and I hit the streets again, trying to say, it's 2010. Will guys act like men? I mean, we had a great big circle squirt on Saturday over at the UFC thingy or at the UFC thingy. There's a whole big kind of like, we're watching two guys wrestle around naked on some pigskin. It used to be fight. I remember when they switched over. Fighting used to be back in the old days. It used to be dudes in jeans and flannel shirts. You roll up your sleeves and Jack L. Sullivan style. You pound away at each other. And then that, got switched to boxing. And then there's wrestling, and it was fake wrestling. And then there was the UFC. And then I was around the Hoist Gracie years when he kind of jumped off. I went to a seminar, Hoist Gracie seminar. Buddy of mine was really into this. And ironically, he's one of the softest dudes I know outside for talking about this. But nice guy, too nice. And so used to be a tough guy too. I remember this guy from back in high school, and I'm quite shocked at what happens as something does something to us. And so that, I remember them saying that, UFC, you can't the guys who stand, they don't win no more because most fights go to the ground. So all the jiu-jitsu guys, they do their thing. And so here we are today, and that's, pretty gay or homosexual behavior. This is going back to the Greeks who were really into wrestling and some of the moves. And, you're trying to, you used to choke out a guy with your forearm. Now you choke him out with your crotch. And again, there's nothing against gay people. It's nothing against anything. I wish them all the best. I think they like guys. And some of the gay dudes I know are tough, and they look tough and they act tough and whatever. And some of the gay dudes are not, and people can do whatever they want. But in this system, the New World Order is clearly trying to emasculate males, attack traditional values and traditional ideas, and do that so they can rob and murder us. So, it's important to make sure you're not affected by what they put out there. Now, you can do whatever the hell you want, but if that's all you're doing and you're not doing nothing you're supposed to, then, you got to see why that is. What is it that turns the mainstream general public, activists, academics, conspiracy theorists, whatever. What is it that turns them into people who don't respect the people that they say they respect and admire? And this is a joke that'll get me thrown before the Communist Canada courts. I'll be in front of some. I won't get a jury. That's why they're getting rid of juries. Juries is 12 people from the public. I got no business being there. So they want to finish their business, get out of there. And so they just, two people can go up there and go, yo, this is the deal, or one person, and versus the state, or the vice versa, and then go, yo, this is the deal, and 12 people can go, that sounds reasonable. I tell that guy, get out of here, he's fine, he ain't doing nothing. I've been told that I can't play music with cursing on my show. I got another warning about that, so all my hip hop fight music is gone. Episode 101 though was awesome. I've heard that a couple of times. It's a lot of fun, especially since I really like that music. But it's also a good show. It's pretty dense, full of a lot of good stuff. But that's why they're getting rid of juries. That's why in the States, here in Canada, and they've done this for things like housing tribunals and, child care tribunals and psychiatric boards. And, they get like, a half a dozen people that are paid by some big institution that's working with the state or the state to be there to lock people up. That's what they do. They're paid to, and they'll let some people go, but they get paid to lock people up. Now, if a jury saw that, they ain't get paid to lock people up, and they don't need that on their conscience. That ain't their job. They're not part of the eugenics program where they actually give people jobs to do this type of thing. And so they might just be like, nah, let that guy go. And they might be like, nah, let that guy play music. But CRTC doesn't like it, and so I'm not going to do it, and that, you know, that'll do on that for now. But I'm also not sure how long I'm going to do the radio show, because I either I can advise people on how to reach people, and then they can do it, or I can skip that process, and I can do it. because you know, I can do it. That's not an issue. You know, given enough time and resources, you know, getting everyone hip to what's going on is not going to be a problem for me if, you know, I decide that's what I want to do. But getting the people that are already hip to what's going on to how to tell other people is what I like to do here on this radio show. And hopefully that's happening. I am waiting, though, for emails at blackkrishna@gmail.com. blackkrishna@gmail.com. You know, to let me know what you're doing. Because I got to tell you, and again, this is a joke that I'll get me pulled before the Communist Canada Police. You know, the politically correct courts. There ain't that much difference. I told my buddy I want this on my tombstone. but there ain't that much difference between the word fan and the word... I'll leave it at that. Because that's what we are. And I got a 24 with me here, and it says on the cover of today's 24, Wednesday, August 11, 2010, Toronto edition, CONCACAF Champions League. And it says Toronto all for one. It says history is being made. Tickets now available. TorontoFC.ca. Here we go. We're soccer fans. Watch these other guys run around and kick a ball like an 8-year-old. and we're like, yeah. And then when it's like, hey man, the government's corrupt, people are like, no, don't say that. I understand why it's tough out there for, you know, deep researchers, conspiracy theorists, my fans, but you also know that, you know, I make music, right? I make music, and you can say what you want about my music. I make music, I like it. Some of it's really good, some of it's okay, and I make music, and if I make music that nobody wants to listen to, then you know, I gotta make better music. Otherwise, I can't make music no more. I can't just sit there and be like, nah, I'm not gonna make music. And if you try and tell the truth about this, and people don't want to hear you, then you gotta get better at it. That's how this thing works. You gotta get better at it. Because that's the only thing that makes sense. And if you get better at it, you'll feel better. And if you sit there like you can't do it, you'll feel like crap as they escalate their, you know, control over us. I'm on Infowars.com for some. We'll go back to a couple of things. But Webster Tarpley, Iran war on multiple fronts. And I love Webster Tarpley. I think he's a genius. And he's the guy who back in 05, 06, you know, 07 or whatever, was like, Iran war. Crazy hot. Oh my God, they're going to kill us all. Get active or get radioactive. And he was in the streets in Italy in the late 70s handing out leaflets and flyers, you know, warning of the same damn thing back then. He's just like, no, I know how to do this. You know, I'm not going to say this doesn't work. I'm not going to say that I'm pissing anybody off by trying to stop World War III. And I'm not going to say that I'm too good to do what's been done for hundreds or thousands of years, depending on how long you want to look back, in terms of sharing information about the corrupt political system you live in, so the people you live with can help reject its evil. You know, and no one's tripping neither. So we got a few people doing this. My colleagues and I at TorontoTruthSeekers.com. You know, from last July, you know, to pretty much it's been about a year. Although we're dwindling, you know, bad. And we're getting attacked by spooks, and they're seeding us with all these ideas. And, There's all this craziness going on that I can see from afar. I don't even look into it. I don't even look at it. I just check over once in a while and I go, oh my God. Who's leading you here? Can't you see the cliff? I can see the cliff notes. But there are people out there that can push through, you know, the fog of, you know, mass media confusion, you know, entertainment saturation, disposable culture and trivia, you know, cold, dehumanizing, selfish actions. You know, there are people that can push through all this crap. You know, narcissism, religious narcissism, you know, where you just brag about how cool God is, and he's your God, and so you're just bragging about how cool you are. and God hates a lazy coward. You know, God hates you wasting his gifts, wasting his time. You know, there's other people here. Other of God's children, if you prefer. We can play this game any way you want. You know, I'll take your Bible and slap you in the head with it. You know, what did Jesus do? Did he sit around and brag about how cool Dad was? You know, that's crazy. This is insane. And this is all from the New Age movement. This is the New Age conscious yoga. You know, I got my chakras. I do this. I do that. You know, I drink Jennifer Aniston water. This is that type of thinking, which affects everything. And so the religion's fine. You know, there are religious groups that suck, and there are religious groups that do a great job. And most of the people I admire are freaking Christians. Alex Jones and Dr. Stanley Monteith and Dr. Russell Blaylock and G. Edward Griffin and Michael Shaw, you know, and they're Christians. And they're like, God, give me strength. I'm going to go do some. And so you see, you know, all these street preacher dudes, you try to approach them and say, yo, why are you just trying to sell me afterlife salvation so you can get your own? Huh? So you got a good place to go after you die? You got to tell me I got a good place to go after I die if I believe you? What are you doing here? God put you on earth and gave you a brain, you know, and gave you some knowledge of corruption threatening everyone, and you just want to speed up the end times by letting it get worse. You know, I'm not sure if God's happy about you being cool with all this stuff getting broken. If he breaks it, he breaks it. But if these guys break it, I don't know, man. I don't know. And I, because it's a joke, because you can see what it is. It's a way of thinking. So, back to this article to explain this thinking from another perspective, that of education. Why, you know, so many of us learn a lot, but very few of us think much about what we learn in the sense of, you know, thinking of what to do with it and so on. Because we get trivia, man. We get every day we get page one is soccer, and then for the cover of the Metro after this advertisement. Is Jolly Roger. Swiss tennis star Roger Federer had a happy debut at this year's Rogers Cup, winning in straight sets. Now, when you got a country as soft as Canada, and you know, we're soft as baby poo around here when it comes to dealing with this, you know, and you see how much they promote sports and fandom, you got to see if there's a connection there. You know, and if being a fan of the Toronto FC or the Leafs, or God, and just being a fan of all that, or other people, is helping you. You know, is it the people that you are fans of? Is it the way you're looking at that fandom? Is it the way you're not connecting that fandom to things you could be doing? Is it? You know, what is it about our culture that keeps everyone from reacting normally to what they know? You know, some people might say, I'm better for learning more evil stuff. And I'm like, nah, man, if I don't know that kid's drowning and that kid is in the pool splashing around and drowns, then I ain't feel two ways. But if I do know that kid's drowning and I sit there, I let him splash around and be drowned, or let them get shot with vaccines, or let them get poisoned with aspartame and all the chewing gum out there and everything else? Then, you know, there's a bit more of an onus on me to, you know, tell somebody. I mean, all right. Let me go back to this article for a sec. Oh, no, wait. There's one more story I want to tell you, my buddy. All right. So, there's this young, smoking hot Muslim girl dressed head to toe in black. No, purple. Purple? Dark blue? Dark blue, I think. And she even got her eyes covered a little bit. And she got a kid with her. And her daughter's in a little stroller. And my buddy's pushing around his little nephew. And the little girl sees a little boy, and the little girl's a little bit older, like 2 years, and the nephew's like 8 months. And the little girl goes, "Baby." And so the Muslim girl, she rolls a stroller over near my buddy, and the two kids play for a while. And she's not really, you know, my buddy's just there chilling, and the kids are playing, and, you know, ain't no thing. There's an 8-month-old and a 2-year-old there. It ain't got to be about you. Like, when I was going to see my nephew, and he would or would not play with me, and he's a baby, he would, and he's a little paranoid because he was really hanging out with, you know, my fam and stuff, his parents, and just people he know real well. And people were like, oh, you know, my mom would try to grab him and throw him at me, and then he cried. I'd be like, cut that out. I don't want the kid to hate me. And I was like, look, if the kid is happy, what do I care? You know? And another, you know, uncle would try to grab him, make kid cry. I'm like, man, back off. You know? Like, if that kid's happy, what do I care? And so the kids are playing or whatever. And then she's just, you know, got to say bye-bye or whatever. And the woman just gets, she does a bend at the waist, not even over at the butt, but she's bending down kind of at the knees. She gets up. She gives my buddy a polite, you know, nod. And she leaves. And my buddy's like terrified by the power of this demure woman. And the guys at the TSA in Canada, TSA, whatever we have, the Transport Canada, they wouldn't make a Muslim woman take off their veils because they were intimidated by their composure, you know, with the way they were carrying themselves. And there is something in our culture about that. And the other side of things is, ladies, the more you give us to look at, the more we're going to look at. That's just how it works. This is nothing. We look for this stuff all the time. If we flip through a magazine, we slow down, we grab a copy of The Sun, we check out The Sunshine Girl, you're on the internet. Don't get me started. Don't get yourself started either. Go to thepinkcross.org, thepinkcross.org, if you want to get the goods on porn from former porn stars, a whole bunch of them, and who are Christians, and they're lobbying. They're showing up at political meetings and trying to take back, you know, things, you know. And in Canada, it's almost like we're afraid of our politicians. You know, we're afraid to talk to our MPs. And then, you know, and MPPs and city council. And then they get afraid. And then they go along with whatever the globalists sell them, whatever garbage is, whatever. So anyway, my buddy and that woman, that whole thing ended. And there's ways. And I tell immigrants this when they come to this country. I say, whatever you're doing right, keep doing it here. Because that's how we move well. You know, we move well when people bring good ideas here. Not when communist groupthink makes us reject them. And you see some of these immigrant dudes, I remember seeing some of them, you stay in the same place a while, you know, and dude working at a coffee shop or whatever. And at the beginning, their eyes are all full of light. They're all full of hope. They're in a new country. They're meeting people, being friendly. And then after 6 months, a year, you know, they get kind of dim and they're kind of bitter and they working in, you know, a quote unquote crap job. Oh, they're all crap jobs these days because we're moving into a service economy. All of our industry and manufacturing is being shut down. The global warming, green taxes, sustainable agenda. You know, we got to worry about the weather in 20 years. So we got to shut down everything that produces carbon dioxide now, including factories and humans. Because we produce carbon dioxide every time we exhale, which coincidentally plants like. And they inhale for photosynthesis, and then they give us back oxygen so we can breathe and survive. So it is the biggest joke in history that is being used to fool us into being destroyed. And so you see these dudes, these immigrant dudes, and they be like, they just get bitter about the experience. And this is because of politeness, which is an enemy of truth, and groupthink here in communist Canada. Back to this article. According to Dewey, learning was only relevant in the context of what society, and by extension, the state, deemed necessary. The acquisition, and remember, we always talk about the corporate media, they work for the government, and if they're promoting the hell out of sports and the hell out of fandom, I'm a fan of a bunch of people. You hear it on this show. I'm a fan of a bunch of people. And not just conspiracy theorists. I'm a fan of, 50 Cent, and I'm a fan of Roger Federer. I saw him play at the ACC a few years ago. I'm a fan of, tons of people up from across the map. But I use that to, I mentioned Michael Phelps, getting inspired by Young Jeezy's music more specifically, as well as other commercial hip-hop, to go swim his ass off at the Olympics and win like 74 gold medals in China in 2008. And I'm a fan of their technique to get something done. And I'm a fan of learning about that. And I'm a fan of biographies of people, and figuring out the process and methodology. I've read biographies of Jack Nicholson and Malcolm X and Gandhi and a whole bunch of people and Jim Morrison, and No One Here Gets Out Alive. Great book. There is a way to see how people beat this. If I just say make a flyer, burn a DVD, put up a poster every show, and people don't. If I just say that, and then settle there or give up, then I'm just like a conspiracy theorist who says I try and talk to people, but nobody wants to listen. Now, since I criticize that approach, I'm trying to look for different things. Things that may push you, may challenge you, may even piss you off a little bit. But ultimately, if you take seriously why I would risk doing that here in polite communist Canada, then you may find there's something there that you can use to make yourself happier. Because I know the opposite of that. Ah, Monsignor Gasquin is in the building, ready to bring you 4 hours of jazz in just a few minutes. No one fights like Gasquin, makes sweet love like Gasquin. He is Monsieur Gasquin. That's Ron Gaskin, folks, and he'll be up in a sec. I'm gonna just finish this article, just bits and pieces here. The acquisition of knowledge for its own sake was regarded as selfish indulgence. Feelings and emotions were far more valid a barometer of a student's, quote, adjustment towards society than information or the use of logic and reason. That's because they can get us all to feel bad and feel like little helpless children and always look for approval. I don't look for approval. I get it. I don't look for no... If you don't approve and you don't make sense, then I don't approve. So I live with that. And there's people out there that always look for approval. How's this dress? How's this look? How am I doing? Am I doing it right? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, that we're being turned into children always seek approval until they become adults. Then they can give it out, And if someone does something of note, you can see what you think. But just basic day-to-day stuff like how you dress and all that, it's crazy. So it should come as no surprise then, back to the article, that throughout most of his professional life, Dewey proudly wore the label of a social progressive. And this is a utopian society built upon the ashes of capitalism and individuality and so on. It says here in bold, in Dewey's world, there was no absolute truth. Therefore, everything was malleable and changeable. There was no bedrock, no other anchor upon which mankind might attach and secure their intellect, their character, or their conduct. Everything was continually in a state of flux, with the only constant being one's duty to society to serve it however society chose to dictate through its institutions. An emphasis on group participation, group learning, group problem solving, and group activities hammered home the one unbending principle that the individuals must always be subservient to the group. Learning and achievement in any field of study, declared Dewey, was selfish, the means whereby a child might separate him or herself from their peers. It's about top-down control of society, folks. And it's about groupthink being used to reinforce that. Does that mean go piss off all your friends? No. No. Does that mean go try to help them and explain that you are, you know, and explain that you got to get together in groups so we can actually use some of this information to pressure the system? Like say, hey, what do you think of this DVD? You're responsible for this area. This is what we think. Meet with us. Watch it. You work for us. Anyway, enough of me. A couple of websites shut up before I go. Infowars.com, naturalnews.com, whatyouwantabelievein.com, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. This article from henrymakow.com. You can finish yourself. Locally, pressfortruth.ca, torontotruthseekers.com, the Toronto Street News paper out there, conspiracyculture.com, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles, and so on and so forth. I'm going to leave you with Muse yelling at 50,000 people. Hopefully it helps get you going to become a fan of your own work as well. Peace out.